Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love coach of the duo. I'm flying solo today to bring you an episode on all things love and dating. This is actually my first ever solo podcast, and I'm really excited for our conversation. Over the past 7 years, I've had the privilege of helping women to cultivate loving and fulfilling relationships. And in my work as a love coach, the former dating expert for Match.com and the co-founder of Project Love, I've helped over 1,000 women to navigate the ups and downs of modern dating. And to celebrate 7 years of love coaching, I am going to be sharing with you the most important lessons that I've learned about love, dating, and relationships. Specifically, the lessons that I've learned about the anxious attachment style in love, which is my own relationship pattern and what I specialize in my love coaching work as well. I first learned about attachment theory 20 years ago, and I have been fascinated by it ever since. And I know many of you are fascinated by it too. The episode that I did with psychologist Helen Dent a few years ago on how attachment theory can help our relationships to grow continues to be our most listened to episode on the podcast. So I'll tell you a little bit about what it is in case you haven't heard that episode. So attachment theory is a psychological model that describes three main types of relationship patterns: secure, avoidant, and anxious. And it's one of the most, if not the most, researched theories in the world of relationship psychology. I am so fascinated by it because the way that we date, the way that we love, and the way that we show up in our relationships is largely determined by our style of attachment. And so learning more about the insecure and secure attachment styles actually gives you a framework for becoming more secure in love. So let's get into the three attachment types in more detail. Generally speaking, secure attachers feel comfortable with intimacy, closeness, vulnerability in their relationships. They're not afraid to commit, and they tend to get into relationships with relative ease, and they tend to be more satisfied in their relationships too. Avoidant attachers fear intimacy, closeness, and vulnerability in relationships, and they tend to be afraid of commitment. And anxious attachers tend to feel insecure in love and crave intimacy, closeness, and commitment in their relationships more than any other style. Both of the insecure styles, both avoidant and anxious attachers, fear rejection and abandonment, but they have different ways of managing those fears in order to feel safe. So avoidant attachers tend to suppress their fears, and they have a tendency to shut down or withdraw when relationships get too close and when they are afraid of losing their independence. Anxious attachers tend to feel quite overwhelmed by their fears when they're scared, with a tendency to get preoccupied with their relationships, especially when they feel their date or partner pulling away. And it's quite common for anxious attachers to date and be in relationships with avoidant attachers, which can result in a pattern called pursue-withdraw, which is basically when one partner wants more closeness and connection than what the other partner is comfortable with. So as the anxious partner gets closer, the avoidant partner pulls away, which makes the anxious partner want to get even closer and the avoidant partner to pull away even more. And they can both behave in ways that exacerbate their fears. We actually do need to do a whole episode on this, actually, because it's a really interesting dynamic. And I know this pursue-withdraw pattern really well, as this was my pattern for more than a decade. Like a lot of people, I didn't grow up seeing a healthy model of a loving and secure relationship. The relationships that I witnessed growing up tended to be unhealthy, unloving, unhappy. And I saw from a young age that relationships often equal self-sacrifice, pain, and suffering. I was obsessed by the stories of happily ever after that were given to me by Disney fairy tales and films like Jerry Maguire. I really thought that true love was about finding someone to rescue me and complete me. And as an anxious attacher, I had a tendency to sacrifice my needs and lose my sense of self in my relationships. As a result, my relationships were often a source of anxiety, drama, and disappointment, which would consume all of my available headspace. And in every single one of my past relationships, I felt like something was missing. And then around 10 years ago, I realized that what was missing was me. And it was there that I started to question and challenge my understanding of love and how I show up in relationships. It really was the beginning of my self-discovery and self-love journey. When I saw my relationship pattern through the lens of attachment theory, I realized that my anxious attachment pattern was common and actually quite predictable. And I found so much comfort in this. And my clients tend to feel the same when they discover their own attachment style tendencies too. If you are an anxious attacher, it's likely that you will crave closeness in your romantic relationship. You'll want to feel a sense of togetherness, a feeling that you're on the same page in terms of where you see things going in the future. You'll want to feel safe and reassured. And if this is you, then I want you to know that your needs are valid. And this is lesson number one. Your needs are valid. You are not wrong for needing closeness and reassurance to feel safe in a relationship. In the book Attached by Dr. Amir Levine and Rachel S.F. Heller, the authors say that you are only as needy as your unmet needs. And I just love that. I was so relieved when I read that. I was like, yes, it's okay to be needy. But there is a way to ask for what you need without resorting to what's called protest behavior in the world of attachment theory. Protest behavior is basically how you behave when you sense that your date or your partner is pulling away. It's what you do to get closer to your date or partner, to re-establish your connection with them. So it can include things like playing hard to get and ignoring their texts or calls, saying you have plans when you don't. It could be acting in ways to trigger jealousy in your date or partner, or threatening to leave them in the hope that they'll convince you to stay. It could be stalking your date or partner, excessive calling or texting to get their attention. And it can also include things like ignoring your partner and sulking too, which used to be my strategy. Now, the intention here is to get closer to your date or partner, but your actions can actually push your date or partner away. And what I've learned over the years through trial and error and studying healthy, happy relationships is that expressing your needs through effective communication is key for relationship fulfillment. And this is lesson number two. What I didn't realize is that my partner isn't a mind reader, and sulking wasn't actually a great strategy for getting my needs met. It's common for anxious attachers to let their date or partner set the tone and pace of a relationship. And if they're with someone who is avoidant, then it could mean that they're more likely to accommodate their partner's need for distance and space. On a dating journey, this could be things like playing it cool and not being honest and transparent about the fact that you want to be in a committed relationship because you don't want to scare off the person you're dating. But sharing these things with your date can actually be a really useful way of assessing compatibility to see if they're a good match for you. This actually goes against a lot of the traditional advice out there that says you shouldn't be too available and that you should act mysterious and play it cool. But in my experience, playing this kind of game is going to have you feeling quite unfulfilled. And if you want to be in a committed relationship, then playing hard to get may actually attract people who are unavailable and afraid of commitment. This is especially important for anxious attachers, as studies show that you may be attracted to partners that are the least likely to meet your needs. And this is lesson number three. A lot of my clients come to me because they want to change their pattern of attracting avoidant attachers and unavailable people. Studies show that avoidant people actually prefer to date anxiously attached people. And a study that I read about in the book Attached shows that anxious women are more likely to date avoidant men. So you may be wondering why this happens. Well, one theory is to do with confirmation bias, which is the tendency to see the world through the lens of our beliefs and values, and to unconsciously select information that supports those beliefs and to discount anything that runs contrary to those beliefs. So it's like having blinkers on. So I'll give you an example of how this shows up in the world of attachment theory. Avoidant attachers tend to have an internal model about relationships that says, my partner wants more intimacy than I'm comfortable with. And anxious attachers tend to have an internal model that says, I can't get as close to my partner as I'd like. So by dating each other, they each confirm those beliefs to be true. they both get to be right. And this can be a familiar script that gets played out between both the anxious and avoidant styles. And I know this script well because this was playing out in all of my past relationships. I always felt too needy and that my partner couldn't meet my needs and that they would end up disappointing me. And I was so committed to this belief that it felt like the absolute truth. I just thought that that is how relationships were, that they were always going to be unfulfilling. And if I could go back in time and tell my younger self a piece of advice, it would be to ask myself, would you rather be right or happy? What I didn't realize was that my commitment to being right and my belief that my partner would always let me down was causing me to behave in destructive ways that actually pushed my partner away. Part of my work in becoming more secure in love was challenging some of my limiting beliefs about myself and my capacity for a loving, committed, and fulfilling relationship. And this is what I help clients with too, which brings me on to my next lesson, lesson number 4. Our minds shape our reality. Our mindset, the way we think and feel about dating and relationships, is one of the most important things to look at if we want more fulfillment in our love lives. Our minds are powerful. What we think and believe influences how we feel and how we behave. And how we behave can reinforce what we think and believe. And we can end up creating a bit of a self-perpetuating cycle. I am absolutely fascinated by the mind. It's why I studied neuro-linguistic programming, which is based on the idea that a change in behavior requires a change in mindset. So our thoughts, beliefs, internal scripts, and a change in language. So the words that we use and stories that we tell to ourselves and others. When it comes to love coaching, I've found that there's often a disconnect with what clients consciously say they want and the unconscious beliefs and narratives that are running in the background. And I use NLP to help clients to bring their conscious relationship vision into alignment with their unconscious beliefs, thought patterns, and narratives. And these can be narratives or beliefs about themselves, about others, about the world, about dating, or what it means to be in a relationship. And these stories can either hinder us and keep us stuck, or they can empower us and help us to move forward. As an anxious attacher, I used to tell myself a story that I wasn't worthy of a loving and secure relationship. And when I believed that I was unlovable, I behaved in ways that reinforced this belief to be true, which created more pain and sadness. I used to believe that I needed to hustle for my worthiness, in the words of Brené Brown. I used to people please and sacrifice my sense of self in relationships because I didn't feel worthy of love. And what I needed to learn was that there was nothing I needed to do to earn my self-worth and to prove that I'm lovable because I was already born worthy of love. Which brings me on to lesson number 5, to see yourself through the eyes of love. I learned that when you see yourself through the eyes of love and respect, then you make different choices in life, choices that affirm your worthiness. When I learned to do this, it changed everything. I stopped being so hard on myself, and I learned to be a kind and supportive friend to myself. And this is one of the things that I help clients with too, helping them to release painful stories of their own unworthiness and to help them to see themselves in the same way that their loved ones see them, through the eyes of love and respect. I help clients to make loving choices on their dating journeys and to take actions that affirm their worthiness. Ultimately, I help them to raise their standards in love and to treat themselves with the same love and respect that they are looking for in a partner. One of the things I've learned is that anxious attachers have a tendency to expect rejection. We're actually very sensitive to rejection, more than the other two styles. But the strategies that we use to protect ourselves from rejection are the same ones that block the love and connection that we're seeking. Because we can't get to love and connection without vulnerability and without risking rejection in the process. And this is lesson number 6. We can't get to love and connection without vulnerability. When I look back on my past relationships, my capacity to have close relationships, something that I always wanted, was hindered by my fear of rejection. In the early days in my relationship with my husband, I remember being vulnerable with him and sharing some of my fears and anxieties about how I was feeling about myself at the time when I was struggling with low self-esteem. and he was such a calming presence. He listened to me and reassured me, and he was there for me in my struggle and held me in my vulnerability. And it was there that I started to rewire my internal model of relationships, challenging the idea that my partner won't be there for me in times of struggle, and to not expect rejection every time that I'm vulnerable. And I realized that all of the times when I was afraid to be vulnerable or ask for what I needed because I feared rejection and abandonment, I was actually rejecting and abandoning myself in the process. And that self-rejection caused me more pain than anything else. So if we can't get to love without vulnerability, then love is a risk. Brené Brown, in her book, Daring Greatly, shares a quote that really speaks to this, and I'm going to read it out. She says, "I define vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. With that definition in mind, let's think about love. Waking up every day and loving someone who may or may not love us back, whose safety we can't ensure, who may stay in our lives or may leave without a moment's notice, who may be loyal to the day they die or betray us tomorrow. That's vulnerability. Love is uncertain. It's incredibly risky. And loving someone leaves us emotionally exposed. Yes, it's scary. And yes, we're open to being hurt. But can you imagine your life without loving or being loved?" I feel a bit choked up reading that, actually. Just really warms my heart and really moves me reading those words, because it's just that great reminder that love is a risk, but I believe that the benefits far outweigh the cost. Now, the final lesson that I want to share with you is that change is possible. A lot of the lessons that I've shared here about the anxious attachment style in love are all about the mindsets, beliefs, and behaviours that are at the heart of this relationship pattern. And it's this internal model of ourselves and dating and relationships that form our relationship blueprint. And this blueprint is in the driving seat of your love life, guiding the choices that you make and the actions that you take or don't take. So maybe your relationship blueprint has you playing it cool on a date and never believing that you can be yourself and be with someone who can love you for you. Maybe your blueprint has you looking for love in all of the wrong places, like mine was. Or maybe your blueprint has you stuck in a pattern of dating unavailable people. If you are feeling stuck in an unfulfilling relationship pattern like this, then I want you to know that change is possible. I really believe that with the right guidance and the willingness to learn and grow, that we can rewrite our relationship blueprints to enjoy happy and fulfilling love lives. It was only when I redefined my own relationship blueprint and learned to love myself that I was able to experience the secure and deeply loving relationship that I'm in today. And it's a true privilege to help others on that same journey of redefining their love blueprint and to remember their innate wholeness, worthiness, and lovability. My passion and why I believe that I'm on this planet is to empower people to work towards cultivating loving and fulfilling relationships where they don't have to compromise who they are. If you're ready to rewrite your love blueprint, then come and join my 3-month love coaching program in the new year. It's a coaching program that's designed for women with an anxious attachment, and it combines everything I know in 7 years of love coaching about how to become more secure in love. My coaching is about 4 things: clarity on your relationship vision and the kind of relationship you're available for, alignment, bringing your unconscious beliefs and narratives into alignment with your vision and treating yourself with the same love and respect that you're looking for in a partner, compassionate self-awareness and loving action on your dating journey, and the courage to be vulnerable and open your heart to love. This coaching program is my absolute heart and soul, and I'm so excited to see who joins me for this next adventure. All of the details can be found over at vickipavitt.com, which is my brand new website. Yay! It's something that I've been working on in lockdown this year, and I'm really, really excited to finally be able to share it with you. You can find out all about my coaching over there and how to book in your discovery call. I'll be holding discovery calls in December and January for the program, which starts mid to end of January 2021. Also over on vickipavitt.com, you can also sign up to my free dating mindset workshop too. So that's it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed putting it together and recording it for you. Thank you so much for listening. So much love.
been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.